In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've reached the end of another church year. Yesterday, celebrating Christ the King Sunday, and we always focus on the second coming of Christ, or the end time. I can still hear the music of Bach's Cantata 140, Wacht auf, from a week ago at St. Paul's. But other than the repetition of another church year cycle, what is the meaning of the end time for students and faculty and staff at Concordia Theological Seminary as we begin a new quarter? Our text talks about the perils of living in the darkness when the day of the Lord comes, but our theme states it positively: end time living in the daylight. We want to answer the question, how can we experience end time living in the daylight? The text suggests two answers. First, by heeding Paul's admonitions to be alert and self-controlled, and secondly, by receiving God's salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we experience end time living in the daylight? By heeding Paul's admonitions. He writes in verse 6, "So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." Paul is writing to his beloved friends. The church at Thessalonica had been founded in some tribulation. The gospel had done its work. The people were growing. Recently, Timothy had returned from a visit there with a good report that they were standing steadfast. But Paul is aware of some problems in their understanding of the second coming of Christ, and so he writes. First of all, he gives this admonition: be alert, that is, awake, watchful. Alert to the day of the Lord, not lulled to sleep by the darkness. You see, Thessalonica was a cosmopolitan place with all sorts of cultural temptations. There was much in the way of immorality and idolatry and materialism. And some of these Christians were very much in danger of being lulled to sleep and getting involved back with that culture again. So Paul says, be alert. You know, I think that those very same words need to be addressed to us this morning. Be alert to the day of the Lord, not lulled to sleep by the darkness. We have a peculiar American culture which expresses itself around Christmas time in certain ways, and it's ironic because there are many lights, decorations, music, festive atmosphere, but the result is a type of a darkness which can derail us from our mission in view of the end time, of reaching out with the good news of Jesus Christ to others, and how easily we are lulled to sleep. There's also a special culture at Concordia Seminary, an academic sort of culture. It's fairly easy for us to become deeply involved in studies, in the adventure of learning, in becoming better systematic and biblical theologians. And in the process, sometimes we can become puffed up, thinking that we have superior knowledge to others outside, and letting the parish and the challenge grow dim because we are so wrapped up in these endeavors. Yes, Paul would say to us, be alert to the day of the Lord and the urgency of the gospel mission. Don't be lulled to sleep by the darkness. Then there's a second admonition which comes out almost the opposite in some respects. Paul says, be self-controlled. Many of the Thessalonians had another problem. That is, they were so enthused and excited and somewhat terrified by the fact that Christ's coming might be soon that they thought the daily tasks to be very mundane, unimportant. Why work? Just sit around and talk excitedly and get ready for his coming again. So when Paul says be self-controlled, it really means be sober, but metaphorically, not to get involved with any kind of mental or spiritual drunkenness, not being over-enthused, not being rash, but rather being self-controlled in daily tasks rather than distracted by end-time urgency. I believe that the text also would be speaking to us this morning on that score. Be self-controlled in your daily tasks. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of you are expecting Christ to come tomorrow or the next day to the point that you've decided not to take home those syllabi you're getting today in class or have decided not to study. And I have yet to receive any invitations to a second coming party on some hillside. Perhaps that will be forthcoming. But what I would suggest is that sometimes we get so involved in end-time urgency that we neglect our daily tasks. We want to be out there where the action is. We want to be proclaiming the gospel of Christ to a world that doesn't know it before Christ comes again. And the tasks of being here day after day and parsing Greek or learning systematic theology and new doctrines or new terminology is something that doesn't interest us in the least. We think we've already been called to be a pastor, and we're going to jump through whatever hoops there are to get through this place so we can get out there and get to work. Paul's words, be self-controlled in your daily tasks, would seem to imply that we should be putting our nose to the books and faithfully letting God build us into theologians so that we can serve better out there. And I might add, there's the danger once we get out of forgetting to keep learning and growing day by day. Paul gives admonitions, be alert and be self-controlled, and that would certainly help end time living in the daylight. But it's been all too obvious to us this morning that we are guilty of sin against him, that instead of being alert, we're often lulled to sleep, and instead of being self-controlled, we're often distracted by end-time urgency. And Paul says some pretty strong things about people who live in the darkness. He used an expression like suffering wrath and destruction will come on them suddenly and they will not escape. That's why the second part of our text is so important. How can we experience end-time living in the daylight? By receiving God's salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This text is primarily a gospel text, and this letter is preeminently a gospel letter. Listen to what Paul says to these Thessalonians. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. And earlier he had said, you are all sons of the light, and sons of the day. What Paul is reminding them of is this. God, from eternity, has appointed you for salvation, and he has sent his Son into a dark world where people are not alert nor self-controlled. He was born in Bethlehem's manger, and he grew up to live under the law a perfect life. He was alert and not lulled to sleep in the wilderness temptation or in Gethsemane or on Calvary. He was self-controlled, not choosing some exotic way, but rather obediently fulfilling the daily tasks before him, which culminated in a cross and an agonizing death against the powers of darkness. But through it all, the light continued to shine, and in the resurrection day, vindicated all that the Son had done. And Paul is telling those Thessalonians, you are the sons of the light and the sons of the day by your baptism, and you will receive the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation as you immerse yourself in the Word. Dear brothers and sisters at Concordia Theological Seminary, that good news about receiving salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ is the good word for us today as we begin a new quarter. Having confessed our sins, we see God there appointing us to salvation through Jesus. We have likewise received what He did on Calvary, and that word and sacrament is there for us as a strengthening power each day of the new quarter, so that we might be alert and self-controlled. That's the reason we don't have to dichotomize our work as students and our work as pastors, because it is the same gospel which we learn here and share, and which we will learn there and share, aware of the urgency, but committed to the daily task. Yes, how can we experience end time living in the daylight? By receiving God's salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore by being alert and self-controlled. I've saved the last verse until now, because in the light of the gospel, it could be a good admonition for our new quarter together. Therefore, writes Paul, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing it.